Invite you to be seated. So traditionally, the day after Halloween on the church calendar that it's been there for centuries, anybody know what that day is? All Saints Day. And so actually Halloween started out as a, you know, Christian, because we Christians like to celebrate the eve before things. So it used to be all, you know, Holy One's Eve, All Hallows' Eve, and they eventually got morphed into Halloween, and we got what we got now, where we're dressing up and all that stuff, because All Saints' Day is the day that we recognize all those saints who have died in the faith before us, including those people that would be our loved ones. And so I wanted to take a moment today to recognize All Saints Day. And so we're going to talk about a passage in the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation is one of those books in the Bible that I used to really want to have nothing to do with. Didn't really want to talk about it. You know, that's that scary book that has that scary imagery, you know. Let's just kind of not talk about that. But one of my favorite classes at the seminary was an elective that I took that was on the book of Revelation. And the Holy Spirit worked through that class to help me realize that Revelation is just another book of the Bible. It's not supposed to be this big, scary book that's separate from the rest of the Bible. It's connected by the crimson thread, like oodles and oodles of thread, run through the book of Revelation, tying it to the rest of Scripture. And that's why it's good for us to not ignore the book of Revelation or not talk about it. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is the book of Revelation. So I have a few disclaimers here before we get into this passage. Revelation is not a scary book. Revelation is not a code to be figured out, you know, when Jesus is going to come again. Some people, you know, want to crack the code of Revelation to figure out the time and day Jesus is going to come back. Never happen. Revelation is not a separate book of the Bible. It's included in the book of O-N-E, one narrative of events connected by the crimson thread to the rest of the Bible. And so, Revelation is all about that crimson thread, the Lamb who shed his blood for us. You see, when you put those crimson thread glasses on when you're reading Revelation, you're going to understand it better, and you're going to see that the Lamb is already victorious on the throne. And all the other stuff in Revelation, the things that, you know, seem scary, we don't have to be scared about. Because why? Because the Lamb is already on the throne. He's already defeated sin, death, and the devil for us. We don't need to be scared of all this other stuff. Because one day we will go and be with him in heaven, which is what we're going to talk about today. So there's always lots of questions, you know, about heaven and what it's going to be like, you know, like, what are our bodies going to be like? What will we eat? I, in particular, would like to know that one. What are we going to eat? You know, what will it be boring? I've heard that before. Well, let me answer a couple of those questions. You see, we know from Scripture that we are going to be like Jesus, who rose from the grave. That first song that we sang, you know, he came bursting out of that grave that first Easter morning. Well, Jesus was still 100% man, 100% God when he rose from the dead. And we are told in Scripture that we will be like him. Jesus ate with his disciples after he resurrected. Jesus was still a human. That's what we will be like. Our bodies will be perfect. We won't have all this other stuff that breaks down on us. Isn't that nice? I won't still be sore from playing basketball Friday night. It will not be boring at all. We will be laughing, we will be joyful, we will be happy. It'll be nothing like our lives here on this earth that can be bogged down by sin. And so let's take a look at this passage that gives us some more details about what heaven's going to be all about. So starting in verse 9 in Revelation chapter 7. And remember, this is a vision that was given to the Apostle John, you know, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. This vision was given to John. And when it says I, that's John telling us what he is seeing. So here we go. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So this is nothing but glorious news from Revelation about heaven. And so I have four things I want you to take from this passage as you go home and you think about Revelation. The first thing is, there will be a great multitude, is what John's seeing here in heaven. What's this great multitude? People from all nations, from all tribes, people who speak all kinds of different languages. You know who else is included in this great multitude? If you've lost a loved one, if you've lost a spouse or a child or a grandpa or a grandma or an aunt or uncle or a friend, they are part of this great multitude that John has seen. Those that have gone before us are there. Isn't that comforting to know? Both my grandpas and both my grandmas are there worshiping God. And when we worship together here on earth, guess who's worshiping with us? All those saints in heaven, all those people that have gone on before us are joining with us in one voice, praising the Lamb on the throne. So the second thing, number two here, our loved ones are wearing white robes. John sees them wearing white robes. In verse 9 and 10, let me just read that again. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And here's another thing. Guess what? You don't have to die to be a saint. Guess who else is a saint? You and I. We are already saints because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, when we do baptisms here with babies or children or even adults, we give them one of these white cloths. And this is where it's coming from here. Revelation is talking about wearing these white robes. We are wearing these white robes now because of what Jesus did for us. Even though here on earth, we still sin, right? Have you ever heard the term that we are both saint and sinner at the same time? And so what I like to picture in my head, you know, you see those comics with the two little angels on either shoulder. One's the saint, one's the sinner. And sometimes we listen to that wrong one, right? And we still screw up. And we mess up. But then we are reminded of this white robe that we've already been given because of what Jesus did for us. You know, I think I'm guilty of listening to that sinner on my shoulder when I enjoy making my sixth grade daughter's basketball team run. I take pleasure in that, and I don't think that's right. But that's what we have here on earth. We are saints. We are saints along with those saints in heaven because of what Jesus did for us. Number three thing I want you here to take away from this passage. Being in heaven is only possible because of the blood of the Lamb. And this was in verse 14, and let me just remind you what it said here. I said to him, "Sir, you know," and he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." You see, these people, this great multitude, are those that have gone before us in the faith. These are our loved ones. They are there because their white robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this is one of those things that I have grown to love about the Bible, is how it's all connected by the crimson thread. In fact, maybe there's a sermon series in here about just the Lamb. Because you know what? The Lamb is huge crimson thread material here in the Bible. You know, we can go all the way back. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it a zillion more times, so you might as well get used to it. But sin is a big deal to God. He hates that we do it. And there's always been a price that had to be paid to cover up sin. And from the beginning, it's always had to be blood that was shed, and it had to be a life that was taken. God has had the same plan from the beginning. You know, God's actually the first one that killed something. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned and they realized they were naked? God killed an animal and clothed them. Shed blood and a life covered their sin. It doesn't tell us in the Bible, but I would not be shocked if that animal that was killed was a lamb. Then we come to Passover, Exodus. What do they have to kill in order to not be killed by the angel of death coming through Egypt? They take a perfect lamb from their herd and kill it, and with the blood they put it on their doorposts. They were saved by the blood of the Lamb. All the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, that's why God, because he loves us so much and loved his people, he didn't require human sacrifice. He just required animals to be sacrificed, and every year they had to remember Passover. They had to take lives, shed blood for their sin, to cover their sin. And then we get to the New Testament, and remember what John the Baptist, as he's baptizing in the Jordan River, says to the people that are standing around there when he sees Jesus come walking, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Do you think this is an accident that he just calls him the Lamb of God? Of course not. Because ultimately, this Lamb of God, Jesus, is the one that sheds his own blood for you and I, which covers our sin. We have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Our loved ones who are already in heaven celebrating have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the last thing that I love about this passage is the Lamb will be their shepherd and is indeed our shepherd here on earth as well. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. See, not only is he a shepherd, he became one of the sheep just to die for them, which is pretty amazing. And of course, as we look at the crimson thread just connecting all of Scripture for us, making Revelation make more and more sense, it's no accident that they're worshiping the Lamb on the throne whose blood has set them free. This reminds me of Psalm 23. And I think you've probably heard it before, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we all do here on earth, and we will have to do this because of sin, we will die. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you know another awesome thing about this passage here in Revelation? More awesome things that we know is going to happen when we are in heaven. There will be no more hunger. There will be no more thirst. There will be no more crying. There will be no more hurricanes. There will be no more tornadoes. There will be no more hurt. There will be no more broken relationships. There will be no more loneliness. There will be no more sin. And there will be no more death, because Jesus has covered us with his shed blood. So I invite you all to stand up now and let's join those saints, our loved ones who are in heaven already, praising God and sing to the Lamb who was, who is, and who is to come.